We'll hold your papers up high.
Welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph, and I'm here with a rambunctious but talented band named Mr. Wes, who we will get to as soon as I introduce my music co-host, Jeff. Jeff, welcome.
Guys, thank you so much. My name is Jeff Brandt, and I'm here because I love music. I used to play in a band. And I'm really kind of excited to hear about what it's like to be in high school and be in a band in 2017. So
tell us what it was like to be in a band way back whenever it was, if you'll admit.
So I played in a band in the mid-90s.
Okay.
And I started in New Orleans, and I was actually in the military at the same time, so I lived a dual existence. So I had a uniform on the day and then played music at night, and then then got out of the military and grew my hair out and played in Chicago for 3 years, and then realized I wasn't going to make any money doing it and had to grow up. So
what was your band's name, Jeff?
Anyone's Circle.
Anyone's
Circle.
Which is
a name that I hate.
Oh, yeah, so you must not have come up with it then.
I did come up. Well, so long. We don't have
okay,
time
all right,
for
all right, all right. We won't go there.
Band names are hard. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
They're super hard. Believe me, that was my first question, is the origin of the band name. So be ready to answer it.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's shake things up. You can ask the first question. That's awesome.
All right, guys. Why? Explain the name.
Oh, I got this. So.
Oh, wait 1 second, though. We need to introduce you guys.
Okay.
No, this is behind my.
I was going to do the first part of it.
All right. So we're going to test. Can you remember Jeff's question? Because you're going to answer it after I have you introduce yourself. So just go down, say your name and the instrument you play. This is Mr. Wes.
I'm Will, a.k.a. the Snake Man, and I play bass.
I'm Caleb Bakke, the Destroyer of Worlds. I play guitar and sing.
My name's Gunnar Lindquist, and I am the drumster.
All right, guys, the name. Give me the story. How did that happen?
So a quick lead-in. Like, we actually went through a lot of names, but one day we're like, hey, we should be called Pilot. And we're all like, yeah, that's a really good name. We're like, hey, we should cover that one song, Magic. Who's it by again? We looked it up, and it was by Pilot, so that didn't happen. On to Caleb.
Well, Mr. Wes, my grandpa passed away right when we really formed the band, and his name was Wes, so I just kind of named it after him.
That's really cool.
That's cool.
Okay, Jeff, that is so much better than your name. I can't even begin to say.
Yeah. So I want to ask you guys something. So I checked out your music. I listened to some of it, and I was immediately impressed with the production value of it. So tell me about how you recorded those songs, and how did that happen?
Well, we recorded with a guy named Casey Smith in Minneapolis, I think it was. Yeah, so it was in St. Paul, and he's got this awesome little studio down in his basement, and it's just like incense burning 24/7. Can't spend a whole lot of time down there.
It gets really strong. A little too much, actually. Like, he'd burn a full stick, and then he'd burn another one.
Are you guys sure it was just incense?
Okay. The answer to that question has to be yes, or we're cutting this segment of the show.
So how did you find this guy, and like what was the process like? Did you record live, or how did you go about it?
Well, I found him on Facebook through a friend named Evan Campbell. He's part of the Shackletons. But when we went there, it's just like any studio. We didn't record it live. We did instrument by instrument. So we recorded drums, then bass, then guitar, then any other guitar we wanted to record after that, and then vocals, and then backup vocals, which was a blast, but really difficult to get through.
So I know, how long have you guys been a band for?
A long time. We've been a band, it's been like 6 years.
Well, 6 years?
So Gunnar and I were in bands before, and then Will was like a kid we went to school with.
I used to play the bass on the electric guitar.
And he was the keyboard player originally, and then we're like, wait, light bulb, we need a bass player. Why don't you just play bass instead of playing keyboard? Somebody plays bass.
That's a team player right there.
He's got the team on
his
back.
I also play saxophone, just putting that out there. Book me for parties, man.
So one thing I would say is, like, you're pretty good on the bass. So obviously it wasn't just like, what was that like for you to get that sort of mandate, and like, how did you get into it?
Like, I kind of just like hanging out with them all the time, they're always playing guitar. I'm like, yo, I want to play guitar. So I asked for a guitar for my birthday, got an electric, never really touched it. And then I sold it, got an acoustic. And I just taught myself how to play acoustic. And then after I got my bass, like 2 years ago, I would just lock myself in my rooms at time. And then because I like had two different rooms, I had to go in between stuff happened to my family. But I had to I just locked myself in my room and just played along to the radio. It just played for hours on end.
That's how you do it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's how you get really good. So I know that when you're so you've been in the band for 2 years.
No, I've been in the band for longer. I've just had longer, this personal bass okay. for 2 years.
So yeah. I know that when you record something, so much of it is is it an honest reflection or is it who we are? So how do you, when you guys think about the last stuff you've recorded, do you feel like it's a pretty true representation of who you guys are as a band right now?
Yes and no. There's different vibes. There's different parts of every song that I personally feel attached to and I feel like represents us. But I know Gunner likes Wicked Witch the best. I like Emigrant the best just because I kind of went hard into writing that song. So I know different songs attach me differently. And Gunner might say, we're more punk or whatever, and I might say we're more fusion jazz, but we're not,
And I'm going to jump in with a question for Gunner, because Wicked Witch actually is the song that we selected to underscore a scene in our sci-fi podcast series written by high school students and middle school students here in the St. Croix Valley called Hush. And it's in scene 3, and I liked it very much for what we were doing because of the beat behind it and also for the sentiment that it was portraying. So could you tell me, Gunner, why is it your favorite of the songs? Because I liked all 3 of your songs. It just happened to fit that scene a little bit better.
Well, personally, I think it's no offense to you guys, but I think it's the least corny. I don't think we have very corny music, but I think it's the least corny. And I think there's some technical stuff in there that, I don't know, if you're not a musician, you might not understand, but not saying that it's super technical, but I don't know. That's stuff I like about it. I don't know.
Is that to do with the drums or just everything?
Yeah, I mean, especially in the intro and the verse part, there's the drum groove is a little awkward and odd in a weird way, I think, against the guitars and the bass. So, yeah, that's why I like it. I just like the groove.
Cool.
Well, and here's the fun thing about that song is that in episode 8 of Hush, in scene 3, it will begin the scene. And we'll play the very end of the song. And then an announcer will come on, which will be Jeff, actually, saying whatever. I based it off the current, so whatever, they say on that. Saying, you've just listened to Mr. West playing The Wicked Witch. And then they'll turn it down because they're going to start their phone call. So you'll technically be on the radio in episode 8 of Hush. Yeah. So, yeah, Cowabunga Man. Yeah, there you go.
I just have one more question. So what do you guys want to see happen? How bought it? What are you guys aspiring to do as a band?
Well, I mean, here's the thing about our band is, we're really spotty. We're not always doing stuff, mainly because our whole friend group is just a big amoeba of musicians. So it's just kind of whenever there's a gig, it's like, do you want to play? And then it's a group of people are selected out of the big pot of musical hands to play.
Accurate. Yeah, that's super accurate.
So it's we're just three of the selected that just kind of stuck together long enough to record some music, but we just play around, Lebsky's on Tuesdays, do some jamming with Jimmy Primetime Smith.
That's the guy. Throwback to Minnesota State Fair Talent Show.
Just anything to kind of broaden our horizons in music.
Cool. Very cool.
So Gunner, Caleb, and Will, how do people find out more about you? If they want to go online and search, where can they find you?
Well, we have a Facebook page for Mr. West, and we have a SoundCloud, but that's about it. We kind of got to update.
Look up Devin Wessels. I played with him, did a few recordings with him.
Well, fortunately, there is more with Mr. West in the second half of our show when Will, not Will Suit, who's sitting here right now, but Will, our student host, joins the conversation. So please stay tuned. Up next, during our mid-program highlight, we feature the Twin Cities' very own indie duo, the Salt Vine.
Stick around.
Stay tuned.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is Steph. Today for the mid-program highlight, we have singer and songwriter and ukulele. Oh, I can't say that. Ukuleleist. Thank you. Jen Bloom and electric guitarist. I can say that. Charles Jolly joining us. Together, they make up the Salt Vine, a band with a unique genre-bending approach to songwriting and arranging that can best be described as, and I love this, you guys, I took this off of your press release, simultaneously nostalgic and experimental. Salt Vine is a relatively new band, but I think you both have been on the music scene for a while. So, Charles and Jen, welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I know you're in the middle of an Indiegogo campaign, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But before we do that, I want to hear from you how you got started. So you've got experience in the music industry, but then 2 years ago, something must have happened. So tell me about that.
I played all over on and off while I was raising my kids. And a couple of years ago, my youngest turned 3 at that time. And so I decided that it was time for mom to go back and pursue this in a different way with more making it a higher priority in my life. And so I had started writing and gigging around again. And I was playing at Tin Bins here in Stillwater. Charles and his wife came to that show. And he came up to me afterward and introduced himself.
So it all started at Tin Bins?
It did. It started at Tin Bins.
I did not know that. That's great. Yeah. So Charles, tell me, what made you go on up and contact Jen after the performance?
Well, I may not have had the guts to approach her if it was only Jen, but she was playing with a friend of ours that my wife and I have known for a long time. Okay. And so the two of them, from my perspective, were a new duo who are going to start doing shows. So my initial approach was to join their duo, but little did I know that their duo was parting ways after that show. So I still approached Jen, and we've formed this duo.
And you said, hey, I play the electric guitar. And she said, well, clearly I play the ukulele. And you said, match made in heaven. All right. Yeah.
She was very skeptical.
I was. I had only had sort of the image of the sort of shredding electric guitar, you know, sort of for the same reason that, you know, flute players and trumpet players do not get along. An ukuleleist and an electric guitarist may not get along, but he heard some lines in what I was doing and wanted to see what would happen. And I, again, like he mentioned, the duo that I had been trying to get up and running just wasn't working out. And I had decided that I didn't want to be a solo instrument or a solo performer anymore. And so I thought, well, I don't have anything to lose, so I might as well give it a shot. After a couple of rehearsals, I was like, this is really interesting. I think I've not seen this.
So what song do you think best represents this unusual combination? Because I'm going to play that for the listeners right now.
Well, the single that we have available is called Where the Band Shaped Your Hand. And that was one of the first songs that we put together. And I think it probably has the most sort of folky feeling to it. So we released that one first.
So yeah. Where the Band Shaped Your Hand.
Yes.
Here it is.
It's a lonely condor beating of a heart that got lost in its battle for love. And the search is on the streets you walk upon, echo your heartbroken song.
Ooh. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
So tell me about your Indiegogo campaign. What is it, and how can people participate?
It's a campaign to fund the recording of our debut album. We're doing 14 songs in a studio in Minneapolis. What is it? Sidetown Studios. So it's what we're asking for is help to pay for the studio time, the mixing, the mastering, all the perks that are available, t-shirts, whiskey glasses. I build guitar pedals. Many of the guitar pedals on my board I built. Hand-built guitar pedals are amongst the perks. It's just to help us to be able to do it and to be able to do it in a timely manner.
That sounds great. How do people find you?
It's just indiegogo.com and then do a search for the Salt Vine and we will pop up.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Charles, for being on Voices in the Valley. This is Steph from Voices in the Valley. I am at Stillwater Area High School right now with the poetry editors of the new youth literary magazine called The Boom Site, published by the Shire and inspired by the initiative of high schoolers here in the St. Croix Valley. I have the two poetry editors here. We've got Hannah. Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
And also Eleanor.
Hi.
Hannah and Eleanor, tell me about the Boom Site.
It features literary works and visual art done by youth in the St. Croix Valley, and it's totally student-run, and it's really great.
Maybe, Hannah, you could tell me, how did students submit their work, and how was it determined what works would be in the Boom Site?
So students would submit their work to the Boom Site's email address, and then the works of poetry would be sent to Eleanor and myself, and we have a rubric which we went through and evaluated all the different works of poetry, the many, many works of poetry that we received. It was really great. Using the rubric, we decide which ones get published and which are not.
That's very neat. Then I'm assuming that the prose editors would do the same thing with the prose submissions, and then if there were visual arts submissions, that the visual arts editors would take a look at those as well.
Exactly.
And why should people subscribe to the Boom Site?
Because it is so interesting to hear the voices of the youth in the St. Croix Valley, and I think the Boom Site is such a great safe space for students to share their work, because sharing your writing, whether it's prose or poetry, is very personal, and I think the whole idea of the Boom Site was creating that safe space for students to share, and I think that's a really unique thing.
That is a unique thing. And you can subscribe to the Boom Site at theshireonline.com/boomsite, and it will land in your mailbox, neat and tidy and ready for you to read and enjoy. Eleanor and Hannah, thank you so much for telling us about the Boom Site.
Hi, this is Emma Atkins, head writer for Hashtag Hush Podcast and actress who plays the role of Andy. The Hush team is comprised of teenagers from all over the St. Croix Valley who write, perform, and produce an original sci-fi radio series. You may have heard our previous episodes played the first Saturday of every month here on Voices in the Valley. But now we are thrilled to announce Hush is on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Please find us on iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review your own hometown, homegrown podcast. Our goal is to become new and noteworthy on iTunes, and you can help make that happen. Hush follows a teenage girl named Andy, whose parents and then grandmother mysteriously disappear. Andy and her friends set off to search for them on a quest that leads into multiple worlds filled with dangerous secrets and manipulative people. All kinds of fun characters. The voice of a strange being named Silence, a bumbling police officer who wants to train his pug to be a police dog, and well-intended but misguided adults aggravate the situation rather than making it better. It's been super fun to write and amazing to act in, and we want you to experience it too. So right after this episode of Voices in the Valley, check out iTunes, find Hush, subscribe, rate, and review. Also find us by Googling hashtag Hush Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show.
This is Steph. You are listening to Voices in the Valley, in the midpoint of our show where Dr. Bransford joins us for a medical moment. Dr. Bransford, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for stopping on by.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, influenza season is definitely upon us, has been for a while, and I know there have been some people I know dropping like flies, so tell us, what can we do to stay healthy and how do we avoid the flu?
Yeah, so this has been a tough season. Again, the most important thing is getting a flu shot.
Mm.
Even now.
It's not too late?
No, it is not.
All right. So even though it's almost spring.
Yep, but the timing of the flu will be different each year. And
okay.
There's still a lot of active cases, and the recommendation is still to get a flu shot if you haven't had one.
That makes sense.
So, you know, one of the questions is, how can you avoid it? And the main thing I would say is you can't.
Oh, boy, that's depressing.
Yeah. But I think it's important to know that you know, the flu is in the environment, and if you get it, you're going to get it. The shot will help minimize the reaction to it, but it's not the end of the world. I was thinking about it as a kid. You know, there were a lot of things we had, chickenpox, mumps, mm-hmm. measles, and it was sort of a time that you could sort of relax and get away from the world. And I remember so much being home with my Hardy Boys books, reading and realizing what a great escape from the world it was.
Wow.
So I think the message is that if you get it, and you know, you might,
yeah,
realize that you've got to take it seriously, get yourself home for a while, and then enjoy it.
You know, enjoy the flu.
Have the soup.
Oh,
have
my goodness.
Some tea. Read the book. Think about your childhood. And if your kids are sick, make sure you baby them and get them everything. I also had something my mother used to do for me was she would give me mental health days.
Yes.
She would see a day and she'd say, you know, you look like you just could use a day off. Why don't you stay home?
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, you can't avoid it. And I would not be so hung up with all the antibiotic gels and, you know, washing your hands every 5 minutes because, you know, one of the big things that does is it kind of makes resistant organisms.
And we don't want to do that.
No. So, you know, just good soap and water, good hand washing technique. And if someone's got the flu, stay away from them.
Right. So don't give them a big hug and a kiss.
Right.
Best to use good judgment in those cases.
Exactly.
Wonderful. And when does the flu season end?
You know, each year is different.
Okay.
So I would say probably another 30 days should be over.
Okay. So it'd be over by the end of March.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get there. Surely we'll get there. Dr. Bransford from Stillwater Medical Group. Dr. Bransford, thank you so much for joining us to share how to avoid influenza and make the most of it if you get it. I must admit that was advice I wasn't expecting, but this is part of the reason why I love having you on, Dr. Bransford.
Would you like one of my Hardy Boys books?
I would like one. Not if it means I get the flu, to be quite honest, but yes, I would. And I always am so delighted by what you share because it's always something I don't expect, and I find that wonderful. So thank you so much. Thanks for joining us here on Voices in the Valley. Voices in the Valley is aired every Saturday morning on KLBB 1220 at 10 in the morning. If you can't hear us on the radio, you can hear us by podcast, by subscribing to Stitcher or iTunes or Google Play, all of those podcast directories. And you can also find video clips of what we're doing on YouTube. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Steph, and if you are just tuning in, you're joining us for the second half of our show when student hosts interview our guests. Today, Will is back for our jam-packed music session. Hey, Will.
How's it going, Stephanie?
It's going well. Well, we have Mr. Wes on today. We have Gunner and Caleb and Will. So that's going to get kind of confusing, Will and Will, but I'm sure we'll work that out. And I thought it was interesting. You told me you know a couple of Mr. Wes's band members.
Caleb and Gunner here. They sit at my lunch table. I see these guys every day.
So how is Will as an eater?
Really loud. He's kind of like if you were to define dad noises, I'd say look at Will Bessler.
you guys obviously would not have seen that, but Will here just slapped his gum out of the air.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we may post that on YouTube. So if we do, definitely check out our YouTube channel, Voices in the Valley, or maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're already losing our gums, so maybe it's best just to go straight into the interview. And Will, turn it over to you to have fun with Caleb and Will and Gunner.
What made you guys want to start a band in the first place?
Well, we all just really love music. Gunner was at, like, before we started, I started playing guitar, and I really got into it. And Gunner was my friend. I knew he played drums, but he was in a band with Dante Hoyos. I remember that.
That was a while ago.
That was a long time. You were, like, 8. Yeah. And we just really loved music, and I convinced him to also, because we had this like, idea that if you were in a band, it was, like, cheating on your wife if you went with another band. But we're like, whoa, what if we had two bands? And then we just started playing. And I've always loved music. My dad had an old Audio Technica record player that I set up when I was like 8. I brought it up to my room, and the first band I ever got into was Steve Miller. So I've just always, you know, like rocky blues stuff has always been engraved in my soul. That's what started music off for me.
Actually, me and Caleb both, like, were really into this band called Coheed and Cambria, and they're, this emo band. But I still love them to death today, but we covered, like, a bunch of their stuff.
Yeah.
And me and you were, just us, we were a band for a while, and then we picked up Will.
Yeah, that's me.
That's Will, yes.
The odd one out.
No, I just kind of got into music because my both my parents taught piano and voice lessons at a young age, so I played piano, actually. And they were like a band. I'm like, oh, you guys are cool. And they're like, hey, you can be our keyboardist. I'm like, okay. And then we're like, wait, do we need a bassist? They're like, yeah, you're playing bass. And that kind of happened. Here we are.
You just kind of got shoved around, didn't you?
Yeah, I always do.
Yeah, well, you guys talked about your influences earlier. Caleb mentioned Steve Miller Band. What about your sound now? What do you think you guys take a lot of influence from?
So, like I said, we have an Amoeba friend group of musicians in the band Will and I are in with right now called Ludo Down. We're definitely punk inspired, like a lot of the Ramones, the Orwells. We've got some vibes of Nirvana, and especially Howler, another local band. It's got kind of like a surf punk rock vibe to it. We've written a couple songs again with Mr. West that we've been working on again. It's got like a hard bluesy rock vibe to them. So it's just, we're not really, I mean, yeah, we're more rock inspired than anything. Like we've always got that kind of foundation, but we go into plenty of different areas. We've gotten into soul. We've gone into, with Emigrants, some more like modern Minneapolis indie rock vibes. It just constantly changes, yeah.
Yeah, and like lately, like my tastes are all over the place. Like lately, this past year, I've been really into hip hop and R&B and soul. A lot of jazz. I actually play in a jazz trio, and yeah, I really just got super into jazz, so it's way different than punk rock.
I'm a huge fan of like funk music and Red Hot Chili Peppers because I just like slap bass a lot. So
speaking of new stuff, would you guys be willing to kind of play a snippet of something you guys have been working on?
We have this new one. The lyrics are, my dad goes on these binges. It's nothing, you know, drug-related or abusive, but he really gets into, like, looking up conspiracy theories, or he really, really, really likes Sasquatch. And, like I'll know when he's going on them because, like, when I'm trying to sleep, you can hear, like, Sasquatch roars. So I wrote this song that's dedicated to my dad, Gregory Baki, and it's all about falling in love with a Sasquatch but never being able to meet.
Oh, that's so sad. Okay, let's hear it. Right, so I'm going to do a challenge for you guys. I want you to a cappella the first stanza of the song.
Okay. Where could he be? It's one big book of mystery. Where could he be?
Okay, that is so awesome. I think you have discovered your new form of music. So here's the thing. If people want to hear the actual song, they can go on both voicesinthevalley.us or is there another place they might be able to find it?
On Facebook.com, Mr. Wes.
Mr. Wes, and hear the whole thing because you're going to record it and put it up there, right?
Exactly, like right now. I'll go do it.
Like right now, this very minute. He's leaving. No, actually stay.
Probably this weekend.
Well, we'll make sure it's available. I want to make sure that everybody knows that on the EP that people can go to, if they go to SoundCloud and type in Mr. West Official, they can hear three very cool songs, Beautiful Face, The Wicked Witch, which will be featured on episode 8 of Hush, and then Emigrant. And then go on to voicesinthevalley.us or
Facebook.com/Mr. West
to listen to
our band.
And also the song you just came up with, thanks to your conspiracy theory father.
Sasquatch Man.
That's exactly right. So thanks so much for joining us here on Voices in the Valley. Listen to us every Saturday morning at 10 on KLBB 1220. Subscribe to Voices in the Valley on iTunes, Google Play, and other directories. Explore our YouTube channel and find us online at voicesinthevalley.us. Next week, a special edition of Hush.
All right, play us out, guys.